Welcome back to Mental Health Matters, and we got another great show for you today. Today we are talking about anxiety.
Yay! Anxiety!
Hey!
All right, and we got three guests with us today. This is Mental Health Matters, 100.1 on your FM dial, archived and generously YouTube. We have a YouTube channel from the Art and Counseling Center that is also putting up some of the lectures that have been in town, as well as some of these radio shows. And you could also email me, scott@artandcenter.com. And if you've got any questions, thoughts, ideas, anything else, I am Dr. Scott Terry. And with me today, we've got three wonderful interns, so you don't even have to say you're an intern. Elizabeth, say hi.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Adler. I'm from New York City, and I am very interested in music, specifically singing.
Great, and may be utilizing the notion of creativity in therapy.
Very possibly.
Okay, and Kyle?
Hi, my name's Kyle. I'm interested in integrative models of therapy, and I really enjoy playing guitar.
Okay, Danielle?
My name is Danielle McWilliams. I am currently a graduate intern, and I am interested in all kinds of things, including being a mother and running. I like to run.
Okay. And you guys have been three awesome interns, and you guys have all done some really exceptional work. So, Danielle, today's show, you're going to really carry today, focusing on anxiety. It's a lecture that you're actually going to be giving to a bunch of therapists in the Art and Counseling Center practice and our Community Wellness Center as well, regarding this notion of what is anxiety and how to address it. So this is, you're going to tailor it for a general audience, but you've designed a lecture that you're going to be giving to other therapists as well.
Yes.
Okay. So tell us how you'd like to start this today.
So I think for today, I would like to kind of focus on, so there's all different pieces that go along with anxiety. For today specifically, I'm going to keep the focus surrounded on generalized anxiety disorder. And so I can kind of go through and I'll talk about the symptoms. And so if anybody that's listening, if you are experiencing any of these symptoms, please reach out. We encourage you to ask for help, call, and then after that, I will also kind of go through some different techniques, things that can help with anxiety and symptoms that people are experiencing. And you guys kind of feel free to jump in at any time.
Absolutely. So, great way to start. So, explain to us what generalized anxiety is for those that don't know.
So, generalized anxiety disorder, it includes symptoms such as excessive worry occurring more days than not. The symptoms must be present for at least 6 months about a number of events or activities. These can include work, school performance, anything surrounding those areas. Another symptom would include finding it difficult to control the worry. So people are constantly worrying, you can't get it under control. It's something that is really just eating at you. Another symptom that would be present would be the anxiety and worry. They're associated with three or more of the following six symptoms. And of those symptoms, they've been present for more days than not for the last 6 months.
Okay, so these are three or more symptoms of a list of six of these. And just because you have some of these symptoms doesn't mean you have a clinically diagnosable condition. It's just, if I'm really feeling this way all the time, maybe I'm not alone, and maybe there's some support that I might want to be getting out there. And maybe it's seeing somebody, or maybe it's reading some books or listening to some podcasts or getting some ideas of how I can start taking control over my life for me now. So it's really not about what's the label. The labels are really so, who cares what a label is? We all get lost and, don't label me as this or that. Doesn't matter.
Right.
Don't worry about your ego. What matters is, if I'm feeling some pain, maybe I don't need to feel so much pain anymore.
Exactly, yes. And these are things that definitely, you're not alone if you're feeling these things. And so it doesn't help, or it definitely helps to either reach out or try some of the techniques or just find something that works for you to help calm yourself.
Absolutely. And, you know, let's put this in perspective. We're talking generalized anxiety disorder. So we're not talking something really out there, something really crazy. And in reality, I'd say about, 90% of everybody has had this experience. So do not feel like, oh my God, I've got some of this. It's like, we all have this. The question is it really disruptive to my life? And what can I do to start taking control over it? Just like anything, it's being honest with ourselves.
I've had a lot of people, to kind of paint a picture, I've had a lot of people who, like, when they talk about when they're really, really suffering and they need to reach out, it's almost like the anxiety to them is this beast that they cannot control. It consumes their life. And so there's definitely, I think, a difference between that and then just worrying once in a while. So it's really just gauging yourself and knowing yourself and knowing, you know, what it is that works for you.
Great.
Yeah,
okay, all right. So you were saying you're going to read us a list of 6 symptoms, and if you've got 3 or more of these, you might want to maybe consider getting some help quicker than not.
Absolutely.
Is that a way of saying it? Okay.
Yeah, so those 6 symptoms include restlessness or feeling keyed up or on edge, being easily fatigued, difficult concentrating or your mind going blank, feeling irritable, having muscle tension, then sleep disturbance. So whether that could include either difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep, or even like restless, unsatisfying sleep. So waking up every morning feeling like you just did not get a good night's sleep.
Okay.
Some other symptoms you might that might happen, the anxiety, the worry, or the physical symptoms can cause clinical significant distress or impairment in social settings, work settings, or other important areas of functioning. So if you feel like these symptoms, they're really, they're causing issues in just everyday activities, like going to work, going to school, it probably wouldn't hurt to just kind of reach out and see if there's help out there for you. Another symptoms might include the disturbance. It's not due to physiological effects of a substance or other medical condition. So, there's not any other outlying reasons that you may be experiencing these symptoms. And then the disturbance is also not better explained by another mental disorder.
Okay, great. Okay.
So some different techniques that people have really found helpful to help control their anxiety symptoms. I have quite a few here. So breathing exercises, I know, is a really big one for people. One thing to note about breathing exercises is it does take time and practice. So it's not something that may come very natural to people. And so what I would encourage is having people practice breathing exercises when they're doing their daily activities, such as cooking or letting the water boil or even hearing the phone ring, standing in line at the grocery store or the bank.
Right.
Practicing those breathing exercises when you're kind of just doing your daily routine, that's going to help if you're experiencing some of these anxious feelings or these anxiety symptoms. That's going to help your brain and your body connect that, hey, this is when I should really try to practice that breathing to get myself more centered.
And is there something to do with oxygen in breathing? Like, why does that help the brain and the body breathing?
Well, I think we're always talking about oxygen getting blood flow to the brain. That's the biggest thing I often deal with in almost every condition I'm addressing. And so it's when I talk about trying to get blood flow to the brain, stop taking it out of this condition or this, you know, fear we have and come back to, all right, I've got to get more blood flow to the brain. I don't care if we're talking about just ADD or anxiety or depression, and how do we do that? And, you know, come back to some of the basics: exercise, blood flow of the brain, meditation, blood flow of the brain, sleep, regeneration, blood flow of the brain, eating, nutrition, you know, supplements that you might need. Again, blood flow of the brain, you know, oxygen and blood flow, and making your brain work. Because if you can't think clearly, then it really doesn't matter what you're thinking about. You know, I talked to a woman yesterday, and she was crying so much about her boyfriend who just hurt her. And it was so disturbing to her, and she couldn't pause enough to breathe. And she had originally texted me at 3:12 in the morning and hadn't gone to sleep. And if she needed to just take a breath, come back to who she needed to be, get centered again, so that she could think clearly enough of what to do about the situation. I think often we think too much about what we're feeling or thinking instead of, let's get into doing something about what we're feeling or thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we're doing something about it, once our head's clear and we could feel like some sense of control over ourselves, not the other person, not the situation, because putting somebody else down or getting, you know, making somebody else wrong isn't going to make you better. Trying to control somebody else or control the situation isn't going to make your life less anxious. If you're feeling out of control, address what's going on with you so that you feel more a sense of centered control. Then you could deal with the other with clarity and focus.
Good point. And so a breathing exercise is...
With the breathing, like if you ever got that situation you were describing where you get people who they're crying so uncontrollably, like they can't even communicate their needs at that point. I have my 3-year-old daughter. Like when she's crying so uncontrollably, she can't tell me what's wrong. I tell her to take a breath to get people to calm down, and then they're able to communicate what it is they're trying to say and what it is that they need.
Okay, Kyle, you say.
It's a great example, and so that's a great concrete example. And so a breathing exercise is something that it might not work for you. It might not work at all in the moment, but it's okay. We're stuck in this anxiety and we need to start doing stuff to get out of the anxiety. If we start getting in our head and rationalizing, why am I feeling anxious right now when we're in a state of complete anxiety, then that's just going to make things worse. We got to get out of our heads and into our bodies and start trying stuff. First, maybe try a breathing exercise. Did that work? Maybe not. Okay, so I'm going to go cook something, do something else that's self-soothing. But no, that didn't work. I'm going to go run. And we're not distracting ourselves from our anxiety in the long term. Yeah. But we're going to come back to that. We're going to come back. Maybe we'll seek help and stuff like that. But when we're in a state of just complete anxiety, our attention is just going towards all of the negativity, all the dark spots, and any solution, the best possible solution is not going to come up in that moment usually. It can, but usually not. Usually we're going to be stuck in that anxiety, and we need to start doing physical things to get out of that anxiety. We need to start doing stuff. Breathing exercise. Okay, that didn't work. I'm going to go try going for a run. Okay, that didn't work. I'm going to go try cooking. That didn't work. I'm going to go try this. I'm going to try obsessing about calling my partner that I can't stop thinking about. Oh, that didn't work.
Exactly. And that's a great point, Kyle, because what you're saying is absolutely perfect. What, you know, the way you do this is trial and error. The point is to try and to fail, because there is actually no failure. The whole point is you try something. If it doesn't work, you learn from it. You come back to you. There is no one solution and I fixed the problem. Again, we talked about in our previous thing of future focus, it's about a journey. It's about a process. It's learning to accept the process of ups and downs, and life goes up and down sometimes. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it's great and I win the lottery and then I lose everything. You know, it's like, it's okay. And so you try something, and if it doesn't work, try something else. But it's get the point is to get on the notion of the process, the journey that you're on, and you're in a bad space. Okay, let's work on getting better. And, you know, start. So great points, Kyle. Excellent.
Thank you, Scott. And Danielle.
So Danielle, what else do you have?
Another technique that kind of like you guys touched on a little bit, you know, Scott, I think you had said at some point, you know, a lot of times when we get in those anxious states of mind and we're freaking out and we're panicking and, oh my gosh, the world is over, we tend to try to either like avoid it or we'll run away from it. We withdraw rather than actually being present with it. And Scott, I think I've actually seen you use this in session, and I think it's such a great tool. Like, if you're experiencing the anxiety, like, be present with it. Sense what's going on in your body. Sense what your thought process is. I mean, if you're present with it, you're going to start to realize what you're realizing then what it is you're perceiving and what is actually reality.
Okay, you are listening to KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and today we're talking about anxiety with three of my incredible interns, Kyle, Elizabeth, and Danielle. And Danielle, you were bringing up a point about a technique that I do. So I'll have a client that's sitting in session, and they start crying, or they start emoting, or they're getting lost in their feelings, let's say. Forget about their thoughts. They're just lost in their feelings. What is it that you see me doing?
The person, like, and I've seen it used a couple of times. So let's use the example of somebody sitting in session and they're crying. And they'll sit there and they'll kind of like start waving their hands and like trying to almost like, I don't want to go here. I don't want to cry. I'm just going to avoid it. And you tell them to just be present with it. It's okay. Experience it. Experience what it is that you're going through. Feel it in your body. Feel the sensations that are going on. Be mindful of what your thought process is. It's helping that person just be mindful of what it is that they're experiencing, and then they're able to kind of realize that, you know, their reality versus what it is that they're perceiving.
And it's, again, we don't believe in denial of anything. It's just we're not into staying focused and milking the emotions, because that's what happens a lot of times in therapy is people feel something and they either avoid it or they get stuck in the vortex of more emotions and more emotions. And okay, so how does that make you feel, and feel it even more instead of just be with it? Got it. So now you got it. Now let's go to the next point. I had one of my mentors was a famous Jungian psychiatrist, and he would talk about this wonderful technique of Krishnamurti's, of that essentially that you're standing on the cliff. You're right above the Grand Canyon, and you're looking over the edge. There's no more thought. There's no more feeling. There's like, oh my God, and you really get it in your gut. It's just getting something and then going, got it. Now what I want to create from this. That's my future-focused stuff. So be with it for a second. It won't kill you. We're so afraid of our pain. Just be with our pain for a moment. Just a moment. You're not alone. None of us are alone. Allow the presence to be there. And then go, got it. Now what? What do I want to create next from it? That's where my power is. And it's really about taking back my power and control back into me now, instead of it being out there in my partner who hurt me, or in my job that hurt me, or my money that got lost because I did something stupid. By the way, we all do something stupid. So it's kind of like going, got it. I did something stupid. Instead of beating myself up, just get it and go. Stop with the judgment and the shame and the guilt and the remorse.
It's like if we think that we're the only one who's ever gone through or experienced a specific thing, More than likely that's inaccurate, because we just think about all of the people that have lived since the beginning of time, and I'm sure like maybe one of them have experienced like something similar to what you're to what we're going through.
Well, you know, I've never had a breakup, so I don't know anybody else has ever. You know, it's just never happened. Nobody's ever had breakups, have they? No, no. And none of us have had any problems. So, you know, and if we all did, we had perfect hindsight 2020. You know, I keep coming back to, you know, I'm still kicking myself about when Apple stock went down, and, you know, I had a few dollars, and, you know, God, I would have been set. You know, you don't go back. We're always about creating this new future. Anyways, okay. So one is this idea of like being with that emotion for a moment. And yes, it's about being mindful, but it's also even more than that, learning how to transcend that experience. Mindfulness sometimes keeps you stuck on the level of the experience itself. What we're often interested in is being able to transcend that experience to something even deeper. Something what's behind, peel back that onion and go, now what? Ah, now I can see it. Now I can breathe again. There's a light at that end of the tunnel. I could go someplace else and create a different future, a greater vision. That's what that transcendence really is. In my future-focused work, that's what it really is about, transcending the place that you've been at to a new way of thinking, a new way of being with this experience. So, yes, we use whatever tool in our toolbox will work with us. And if we don't have enough tools in our toolbox, you know what? There's a lot of tools that are out there. Create a better one. Go on, Danielle. I'm sorry.
No. This is all really great. You know, and it kind of goes into to like, so another technique with anxiety, guided imagery. One tool I kind of really like, and I think a lot of people sometimes they're more visual. And so really picturing exactly what it is your anxiety looks like. So, for example, it's a rope with all of these knots in it, and it's a mess. And then, like, imagining that rope coming undone and imagining these knots, like, and that's, you're imagining this anxiety undoing itself. But then it's also, like, a way for people to see that they're overcoming the anxiety. Another thing with the guided imagery is kind of picking a place, a favorite place that you have, imagining it, going there, really, you know, what is it that you see, what do you hear, what do you smell, what do you feel, exploring all your senses and focusing on that good feeling to help bring yourself back to center and get yourself to move past the anxiety that you're experiencing. Some other techniques, thought challenging or cognitive restructuring. So I think earlier, but we were kind of talking about, you know, there's some people who experience some of that social anxiety. So an example of this thought challenging or cognitive restructuring would be, to identify the negative thought. So it could be something like, if I go to the movies, I'm going to pass out. Challenging that negative thought or that cognitive distortion, so assuming and predicting the worst, and then replacing the negative thought with a realistic thought. So, for example, I've never actually passed out before, so this is actually not going to happen, or it's likely not going to happen.
Danielle, these are great techniques, one other aspect of these techniques is that they give you enough time to distract yourself from the problem that you're obsessing about. They activate the prefrontal cortex, the part of your brain that is responsible for directing attention. And so because that part of the brain is becoming active, you're asking, what you're asking from yourself is to take control and to think about this other thing. You're saying, okay, I'm going to imagine this. I'm obsessing about this other thing, or I'm completely anxious about this other thing, but I'm taking control, and I'm going to think about this. And that activates the part of your brain that's really responsible for directing your attention. And so, And so what that implies is that you're now able to better direct your attention. If you can't get stuck out of something, if you're obsessing about something or you're super anxious, and all of a sudden you're able to imagine this big scenery, and you're able to imagine this completely different topic, you just got out of the thing that you're obsessing about, and that's amazing. That means that you have control. If you're able to think about this other thing, then that means you're able to direct your attention, and that means that you have control of what you're thinking, and that means you're not a prisoner of that thought that you're obsessing about or that emotion that you're obsessing about. Your prefrontal cortex is activated, and you're able to direct your own attention. You have control. You're self-empowered.
And Kyle, does that mean that you will never return to that thought, or that you're going to distract yourself forever, or that you're running away from your thought?
That's a great question. And the answer is no, you're going to have that thought again. You're going to have that obsession again. But what happens is when we're caught in that obsession, we think to ourselves, oh, I don't have control over my thoughts. I can't stop thinking about this. I can't do this and stuff like that. But then it's like, well, I'm able to control my attention because I just did it. And so now I'm able to direct my attention again to something else, something that you want to create for your future. Okay, well, I'm obsessing about this thing that I have that I have no control over. I just applied to this school and I have no idea if I'm going to get in. And it's like, I can sit there obsessing about that, you know? I just applied to this and I sit there obsessing about that. But, okay, well, what do I need to do now to create my future? Is obsessing about that going to work? And the answer is no. And so we have all these things. Okay, and oh, but I'm stuck obsessing about this, and it's just the thought's just going to come up again. Well, I've got control. The point is, I've got control. I can think about this imagery. I can change topics, I can relax myself, or I can use this cognitive restructuring. I'm in control. That's the whole point. If I am the thinker.
Well, and I think, too, it brings up this notion of, okay, if I'm in control, then what am I going to do about it?
Right.
Am I going to, you know, what am I going to create from it? I'm in control of this now. So, and that's the thing with these techniques is, you know, you mentioned before, they're not, you know, they may not be useful for everybody, but they're a way to help an individual kind of regain control of what it is that they're experiencing and what it is that they're feeling, and then ask themselves how they're going to move forward from it.
And I think a very large part of all of this is, on the one hand, feeling a greater control over your own thoughts and emotions, but on the other hand, realizing how little control you have over external factors and being able to accept that. Because I think a lot of the times we actually obsess and we feel anxious because in some sort of abstract way, we feel like our thoughts might actually have some control over the way things are going to work out. If we worry hard enough, then we'll definitely get that thing that we wanted. And so understanding that we truly don't have control over certain things actually frees us up to be a little bit more relaxed.
Good. Excellent. I love it. So we only have less than a minute left. And Kyle, good luck getting into school. Kyle's going to a small no-name school that hopefully he'll get into. What is that school again? I forgot the name of that one. All right. So hopefully Kyle is actually trying to get into his doctorate at Harvard, by the way. So we're going to wish him luck on that. But it is just, you know, it's an obsession. We let go. And we let go to God or nature or whatever we create to make that difference. We do what we need to do so that our lives can actually work. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it won't happen. Okay, great. So we come up with something else. Again, it's that trial and error. And how do we take back control over our lives again? Danielle, what do you want to say to finish on up?
I just kind of want to recap, you know, again, the techniques, they're not for everybody, but if you do feel like, you know, you need some help and you're experiencing some symptoms and you really don't have control, please reach out so that we can help you regain control.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you. And thank you, Colin and Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye. See you next time.